You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the SFF podcast. It's myself, Dave, and we're joined as usual by Eva Murray. Eva, how are we?
Hi Dave, no, I'm good. Thanks for having me on, especially on this kind of special podcast there for the Sky Sports Cup. And I'm glad to be back with you.
Yeah, fantastic game, I must say. Great advert for women's football.
No, absolutely. No record crowd, all the hype, the fan zone. No, it was amazing. And it was a lovely day for it as well. I don't know how much Fiona McIntyre paid the weather to get a sun shining for the full 90 minutes, but no, it was brilliant.
Yeah, just for clarification, there was a crowd of 4,786 in attendance at Pinecastle on Sunday, and they obviously got to see a great game. Eva managed to take the lead in the game through Mayor McCauley, but what we have to say is Partick had a great chance after 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the first half of the first half, it was pretty even. Thistle had a number of chances. I think we'll obviously go on to talk about it, but the goal that eventually came was incredible, an absolute belter from Rachel Donaldson. But I think you're talking about Mia McCauley's first goal there, her goal on the day. It was again another belter, and she's an absolute superstar. We've talked about her quite a few times on the podcast. But as you say, at the start of the first half, Thistle had a chance, had quite a few chances.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the goalkeeper in a minute. Let's speak about Mia McCauley first. It's a great strike. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. I mean, Mia McCauley, she's shown in big games this season. Just her maturity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I remember when I was first on the podcast, one of the first people we spoke about was Mia McCauley and what this season would kind of mean for her. And you're right, she steps up, has stepped up a number of times in these big moments and these big matches, and has proven her worth, how calm and collected she is. I mean, there's so many players who would have seen that keeper coming towards them and you know, made a mess of it. And she didn't. She was, like I say, calm, cool, collected, hit it with all the power she could, and it went in. But no, she, like I say, she's an absolute superstar, and I think she's got a huge future ahead of her.
It's been well documented about the goalkeeping situation with Partick Thistle, even, but I've watched on social media some goals in the men's game. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but as we recalled last night, the boy Tielemans for Belgium, he scored a goal against England. Now, that's a goalkeeping error, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you've kind of seen the reaction for the members of the public to the person who has kind of went after Ava Easton. And like they've all said the exact same thing you said there. People make mistakes, goalkeepers make mistakes, you know, outfield players make mistakes. It's all part of the, you know, the learning curve. It's all part of the game. And for them to go after a 17-year-old who's, you know, made it to a cup final in the way she has, at the age she is, it's just awful. And they would never dream of doing it. Like you say, one of the men's players who are probably far more experienced in the game and you know, have maybe had the, you know, enough, not as many chances as Ava has in those high profile matches.
I mean, there was a goal on Monday in the men's game. I think it was Latvia against somebody. It's Latvia or Liechtenstein. I'll give you a bit of context here because you might not understand. So basically, defensive, this modern football player from the backs, they were basically passing it about the left centre half, passes it to the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper mishits it and it goes straight in. And this is after what's happened, and you're looking at this and saying, right, Ava Easton has got criticism from certain players in the game because of what she's done. Ultimately, these people that have done it throughout Europe, I may add, are going to be immune to this criticism. Probably because of their gender, if I'm going to be brutally honest.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, I think sometimes it's just accepted in the men's game much more. And because there's already this kind of spotlight from certain people on the women's game, as soon as someone does make a mistake, even if it's, you know, routine in the men's game, they do get the, you know, the criticism and far more loads than they would because of, like you say, because of their gender, because it's the women's game. And I think it's totally unfair. And like I say, she's only 17. You know, she's still got a huge future ahead of her. There's not many 17-year-olds who have made it as far as she has already. You know, one of the key players for Partick Thistle throughout this season to get them to where they are. And it's totally unfair.
I mean, some great services alleviating, sorry, the game being a 6 or 7-1 show at the Rangers.
Sorry, what was that? Sorry, I kind of cropped up there.
I'm saying that a few saves from Everett Easton is alleviating that scoreline between a 6 or 7 for Rangers.
Oh, absolutely. I think especially near the end of the game where everyone's kind of getting, fatigued. There was a few shots, Kirsty Howe almost got a shot off. Nicola Docherty got a shot off. And if she hadn't been there to kind of put that pressure on, then, who knows what the score would have been. But no, you can't take that away from her. She did make a few, a few absolute massive saves. And even our case, I think we always have to remember this. When it gets to the goalkeeper, it's already went past, 10 other players. She is the very much the last woman standing. And to make those saves at under that pressure is huge.
And at the other end of the park, what a tremendous strike from Rachel Dawson. I mean, as soon as she popped that ball, I knew it was going in.
Yeah, no, I think Rachel Donaldson has again continuously throughout this year, this season, shown that she I think the Partick Thistle fans like to say she only scores belters, but like absolutely that goal was stunning. And the fact again that she had pressure from a couple of Rangers players at the time, but got the space to make the shot from that far out, was amazing. And she's also made part of history for herself, but part of for her club as well.
It was interesting, the timing of the goal, because Partick scored at a fairly decent time within the game. It was 13, 14 minutes, something along those lines. And you had the feeling, being at Tynecastle, that Partick could have kicked on.
Yeah, no, I think when they got that goal back, that the momentum was with them for quite a bit, and I think the reaction from the crowd, the reaction from those on the sidelines was just like, go on and let's, we're properly still in this. There's, but yeah, no, I think I would absolutely agree with you. I think as soon as they scored that, the momentum was with Partick Thistle, and I was a bit, obviously I was there as a Rangers fan. I was a bit concerned. I was like, if they can hit it from there and get it in, then who knows what's going to happen. I think that's one of the great things about football, is that you can get some surprises. And I think especially going into this match after the last match where it ended 0-0, and obviously the Thistle goal was put offside, then they must have had the confidence to say, no, we can take them on. And I think they did for at least the first half of the first half.
Yeah, they just picked on and the mentality showed in the end.
Yeah, no, I think that's when we see it again. We've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast, the difference between the full-time players and the part-time players. And I think that's what's shown in the end, was that, Rangers had the stamina, they had the depth on the bench to bring people on and know that the team wouldn't change that much. And the score kind of reflected that. But I don't think anything should be taken away from Partick Thistle. I think they did their I think they did their team proud, and I hope it's just up for them. I think they've got that kind of confidence now, so to show that they can take on the big teams in the league, and they have done already, and it should give them that kind of confidence boost for the end of the league. But another few couple of skillful goals from Rangers. Rose goal, absolute belter again. I think the stadium kind of erupted when she got that one in, and then Rio and Liv with their two goals as well. We're a bit more scrappy. But yeah, no, they kind of showed up then.
Yeah, speaking of Rachel, though, I thought she was tremendous on Sunday. I thought she was excellent.
Nah, she was incredible, absolutely outstanding. Always, she is like a little fighter, isn't she? She's never given up. If she loses the ball, or one of the other players loses the ball, she's always after it. She's always taking that chance. She's always looking for space if someone else has it, or she's always, taking a shot from wherever she can if she can find the space herself. But no, I thought she was. I actually don't know who got player of the match. I was trying to find out, but for me, it was absolutely Rachel Rowe.
Was it announced in the tannery who got man of the match? But we were speaking in the press room, and I was saying to John, look, if I'm going to pick a man of the match, it's either Olivia McLaughlin or Rachel Rowe. And Joe Potter was speaking post-match, and not a journalist as such, but one of the Rangers podcasters was speaking to her, and they went and said they felt Olivia McLaughlin got man of the match. So for me, it was one of those two.
Yeah, no, I think that's where, I think Liv had a great game as well, and I think it showed when she got that goal how much it meant to her. I think she's been an absolute asset to the club since we brought her up here on loan. I think she'll be delighted at getting so much game time as well, and being such a crucial part of the team. But again, Rachel Rowe, I think, was outstanding, and again, it's just that kind of fighter mentality that she's She's always trying to get that ball. She's never given up, and I think that what made the difference actually for her on Sunday.
Yeah, John Blaisdell was telling me he wishes Rachel Rowe had a Scottish grandmother or grandfather.
No, that would be brilliant. The winner, she's very much very proud, Welshie. But yeah, she'll. It would be great if she could just find some sort of Scottish ancestry. But no, I think she's making the difference to the Welsh team as well. I think it's another team that's in kind of in transition, but you've got the kind of veterans like her and Jess Fishlock who are making the difference.
Just before I continue on the game, either Brian Graham made a really good point in the press conference after the game about switching to a far. I think it was a, he played five at the back. He said he played five at the back, and he used the word avoided embarrassment, which I think was a commendable word to use because the last thing you want is a 6-7-8 showing in a cup final. The last thing you want is to be absolutely dwindled from the public what they have already.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I don't think Partick Thistle embarrassed themselves at all. I think they obviously he's saying that he played five at the back. I think that's sensible, but they also took their chances when they did. Like we talked about, they had a number of chances in the first half. Rachel Donaldson obviously converting one into a goal. So no, I don't think they embarrassed themselves at all. And we talked about Ava Easton. She made a couple of crucial saves to make sure that it wasn't 6-7-8 now or 8-1. So no, I think they got that balance right. Okay, they were kind of disappointed in the score still, but I don't think they embarrassed themselves at all. I think they've done themselves proud and they showed that they're a team on the up. And I'm excited to see what they do next.
I think Brian Graham made some bold decisions before the game because this wasn't, I don't think, was announced on television. I don't think it was announced on radio. But Cara Henderson had been a major doubt before the game on Sunday, yet she started. And that's terrific character for Cara Henderson.
Yeah, no, actually, I didn't know that, but no, you couldn't tell, because like I said, Cara Henderson was one of their star players, and I think things started to change when she came off, as well. She's been a star player for them for the majority of this season, really. Again, one of those players who can show up in the big matches and make a difference. So I didn't know that, but like I say, as someone who didn't know, it wasn't you couldn't tell because I thought she was excellent.
I'll give you a bit of context, Viva. I was just about to ask Cara Henderson a question, and Brian Graham says, "Excuse me a minute. Just to let you know that Cara Henderson almost never played on Sunday. Played on Sunday because she injured her ankle on training Tuesday. Had it not been a cup final, she wouldn't have played."
Wow, that again. You like you say, it kind of shows her character, doesn't it? It's like even if she's got a wee niggle or something that's been bothering her, that she's the determination to play. And I think that's what Brian Graham's got in his team is that these are players who, want to play, will do anything to get on that pitch and be part of that team. And like I say, I didn't know you could notice that Cara Henderson had that kind of niggle or she was in doubt for the match because, like I say, I thought she was excellent, one of the best players in the park.
Sorry, we'll go to the star players for Rangers in a minute, but for Partick Thistle, I thought Henderson was good until she came off. Dawson, I thought, was tremendous. Amy Balk, I thought, was really, really good in the midfield for Partick on Sunday. I felt she got covered every blade of grass. I felt she gave Partick a bit of stability, especially when they were vulnerable times.
Yeah, and I think Partick have got quite a few of those players, like Amy and Rachel Donaldson, who can cover places, but also find that space and are just crucial, especially when you're playing a team like Rangers, where you can have to adapt, who can move the ball from the goalkeeper straight up to forwards in a matter of seconds, and who can play in that kind of midfield kind of center position. And I think yeah, again, one of the star players who really did show up and showed their worth. And I think that's one of the big things about what the match on Sunday is for Partick Thistle. It's the first time they were on Sky Sports, the first time they were on like a huge broadcaster like that. And a lot of people will be seeing these players for the first time, and those are the players that kind of showed up and showed their worth. And hopefully other people will watch and say, well, I'll head along to they're in my local club, I'll go and watch them now because they have got so many great players.
For the Rangers, their midfield Otley won the game as far as I'm concerned, but Rio Hardy, I think she was due a goal of that magnitude. I think she was due a goal in the cup final.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we talked about Rio just at the start of the season, how she was, definitely one of the best strikers in Scotland. She's top goal scorer. And I think the last couple of weeks it's been not been a bit shaky, but I think we talked about the dream kind of dream partnership between her and Kirsty Howitt, and with Howitt being out for so long, she's not kind of had that partnership the same way. But yeah, she absolutely deserved that goal. I think she's been back to her old self in the last, you know, one or 2 weeks, and she deserved that goal today. And again, it showed her kind of, you know, resilience. There was two Thistle players coming at her. She was going down, but she still managed to get her foot to it and get a goal. But yeah, no, it showed Rio was one of the great players on Sunday.
I don't know if you agree here either. I still think Rangers have levels to reach. I don't think we've seen the best of Rangers yet.
Yeah, no, I think I would agree with that. I think Rangers have been kind of had this kind of you know, we've had injuries throughout the season, and so we've never ever been able to have this top starting 11. So I think once we get the opportunity, and Jo's probably thinking about, you know, summer as well and who she's going to bring in, change about, whatever. But no, I think you're right. I think once we'll be able to hopefully get all the injuries sorted, get our proper top starting 11, and then that'll be the real worth of Rangers and the real kind of you know, top side that we well, are top side anyway. And I think some of the players have had to come in and kind of cover those positions have again been excellent, shown their worth. And people like Sarah Ewan, who we've obviously just seen called back up to the Scotland squad, has been outstanding. But I think when we've got the opportunity to get that, you know, start in top 11, we've got a huge amount of talent on the bench as well. It'll be really exciting for the club.
See, Sarah Ewan's getting called up to the Scotland squad. You've got me on perfectly there, Eva. I understand she's a bit young, right? This player I wait to speak to you about, but I'm a big believer that age is irrelevant. For me, I'd have Mia McCauley in the Scotland squad just now.
Yeah, it's quite funny you say that. I was at the game on Sunday also with my mum and dad, and my mum kept saying, no, Mia should be in the senior Scotland squad. So that's quite funny you say that. But no, I think she's excellent. I think she's going places. I think, you know, give her a shot. I think Pedro has shown that he's, you know, interested in giving younger players their chance in the senior Scotland squad. I think Mia has shown that she deserves that kind of opportunity, and she's still got a huge amount of time. You know, she's playing in the under 17. She's got the under 21s or the under 19s. I'm not sure what the setup is just now. Yeah, under 19. She's still there. She's got plenty of time, but give her a shot. Give her a shot just now. You know, I know, I get it's qualifiers, I get these are, you know, important matches, but yeah, I think she's proven at Rangers that she's a huge talent. Emma Watson got her chance, why not Mia?
It's funny actually, because Mia McCauley was the player I brought up at Ibrox for the press after the 1-1 game at Ibrox to Rangers and Celtic, and I was on my Google whilst Mia was speaking to another journalist going, is Mia the Scotland squad at all? Because I was like, what a performance she put in that game question. And I was like, Mia, do you really ask questions of the Scotland squad? And PR tick box exercise it was. I'm in the 90s, so that'll do for me just now.
Yeah, I think she's got her head screwed on. I've seen quite a few interviews with Mia, and like you say, she knows what she wants. She knows the kind of things to say. And I think that's the right response. You know, she's given a lot to the under-19s. They've had a few great results recently. A few hugely talented players in that, who I'm sure, you know, it's exciting to see the future of what will be hopefully the senior Scotland squad. But I think Mia has proven that she should be given that shot at senior level just now. Okay, if it doesn't work out, she's always got the option. And I think especially just now when there's so many injuries from the Scotland squad, Mia might have been, you know, a good fit for an opportunity.
Absolutely. I think that victory was a big psychological moment for Rangers on Sunday, because I think when you've had the adversity like getting beaten at Celtic, it could have been easy for Rangers to maybe scrape a 2-0 or an ugly 1-0 win. But far from that, it was vintage, it was 4-1, and it was a performance befitting of winners.
Yeah, no, and I think the kind of, you know, the view going into that would have been, you know, last time we played Partick Thistle, it was 0-0. Last week we got beat by Celtic. We need to show up. And like you say, heads could have went down. Heads could have just, you know, we'll just get a quick 1-0 or whatever it may be and get through this. But no, they showed that they're still a team to be reckoned with. They're still all in this. And I think they needed this win. Not just, you know, it's another piece of silverware, but it sets them up well for the second half of the season or the games that are left to try and get that league that league title as well. And it's a huge moment for Joe Potter as well. You know, I think the pressure's not the pressure's off for, obviously still got the league to look forward to, but the pressure's off in terms of the first piece of silverware, which I think, you know, I saw her get interviewed afterwards, and it how much it means to her to get her hands on that too.
I don't think Partick got away from cup finals in the latter stages of cup competitions. I think this is a blip in the journey of Partick Thistle.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think I've said for a long time, I think Thistle are one of the biggest success stories in Scottish women in women's football in Scotland. And I think they're only going to go up. I think this will give them huge, huge confidence. They knew they were the underdogs going into this. Into that game on Sunday, they did well. They got a goal, and they did, like I say, they did their team proud. And I think it will give them the confidence for the second half of this league. The matches that are left, there's a few big ones in there, but they should take confidence from it. And like you say, I think it should only just give them momentum to get to the latter stages of the cups that are, you know, next season or whatever it may be.
I think it's pleasing for Joe Potter to get silverware so early to have tenure at Rangers. Look at Malcolm Thompson, similar infrastructure that Malcolm had, and it took him a while to get silverware at Rangers.
Yeah, but I think it's just we. I think, you know, I've obviously followed Rangers for quite a while, Rangers women for quite a while, and I think we've just seen the way Joe has taken over. It's just, even when you look at the players, they've got that enthusiasm back. They, you know, they want to win. They just get it, and I think it's just, you know. I think Jo Potter is incredibly talented. I think she's just came up here and has just got that determination, but also just her nature as well. You see her get interviewed, and she's got the kind of like, we need to respect our opponents. We're taking nothing for granted, kind of thing. And I think that's a huge part of it as well, because you can't get complacent. And I think she always obviously drills that into the players that, yeah, we might be, you might be the favourites here. We might be favourites to win the league still, but nothing's done until it's done. And I think that's a huge part of what Jo Potter's working on in Rangers.
I mean, 3-4-1 up, and there's either a lapse in concentration, a key pass maybe not went their way, a key shot maybe not away sooner rather than later, for certain examples. And Joe Potter is still angry at the fact they've not maybe done something in the correct manner. There's nothing to take away from Joe, but it's just she demands meticulous standards all the time, essentially.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think she's always kind of, again, drilled it into them, like, yeah, we might be winning 3-4-1, but we should always be, you know, aiming for more. And I think, obviously, we talked about it in the league setting, where we know how close it was, how it came down to the, you know, goal difference last year. And I understand why she does it in the league matches. But like you say, it was the same on Sunday. It was, yeah, we're, you know, 3-4-1 up, but, you know, the whistle's not been blown for full time yet. So we shouldn't be giving up. We shouldn't be giving them space. We shouldn't be, you know, throwing away that pass. We should be, you know, doing everything we can to try and up that lead.
I would say this to a few people in the aftermath of Sunday's game. I think Jo Potter's been a bit of a blessing to Scottish women's football, just in terms of the way she works, the way she conducts herself, the way she implements things. And people might look and hear this and go, oh, you're just focused on Rangers. But no, I would have said that if that was an either all in two or things to another tremendous job, and I've said it if it was any other manager within the league as well.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I think, you know, to have someone of Jo Potter's calibre, her standards in Scotland is exciting. A former Lioness who's worked with some of, you know, the girls who are now, you know, who are in the senior squad in England, super exciting. I would say the same about Alina Sadiku. I think it's really exciting that we've got people of her calibre in Scotland, you know, managing the top teams. And I think it's only a good thing for Scottish women's football, and hopefully we see more of that.
Absolutely. What's your overall observation of Sunday, apart from the fact that they just got the job done? Was there anything else that you took out of it that you enjoyed?
Yeah, no, I think it was just exciting for women's football, like we talked about at the start. I think it's, you know, a record crowd, and I think that's a huge part of that. It's down to the work that, you know, Fiona McIntyre and her team at the SWPL had done beforehand. And just it was just a really nice day, and I think the caliber of football as well. Like I say, Rangers went into that as the, you know, the favourites, Thistle the underdogs, but it was just a really good game of football. I think that I think it was just a good game of football. Rangers obviously delighted that Rangers got the win in the first piece of silver this season. But I think it's just, like you said at the start, I think it's just a really good advert for women's football, and I think it gives us that baseline for where we should be aiming for next year. And I think just the inclusion of like the fan zone stuff beforehand, the mascot kind of battle at half time, all of that, I think it just shows that people are wanting to watch women's football, and we should be encouraging that and doing that more. And I know the SWPL are doing a power of work on that, but they should be incredibly proud of what they did on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a family friendly event. I mean, I was there 11:15, waiting to get into the press room at Tynecastle. Yeah, there was loads of events already, loads of queues for people wanting to take part in the events prior to that point.
Yeah, no, I think it was great. I think just that buzz, and obviously the weather kind of helped. I think it would be a bit different if it was, pelting down and people were having to wander about in the concourse. But no, the weather helped. But yeah, like you say, I think they had a number of like activities going on, and like you say, a number of families that were there. It was really great to see. And I know women's football gets a reputation for being family friendly, which is amazing. But I think it really showed there, and I think it also showed the difference of having a. I know we're making the argument about Scotland matches, but having that time on a Sunday does prove that people will come out and watch it. Whereas, the Scotland team are always been kind of jinxed with midweek matches or Tuesday matches at 7:25. And I think it's something that the wider Scottish women's football in Scotland have to take on board. How do we argue the case for weekend matches? Because the fan zone stuff and all that we're able to do. It really does make the difference, and I've seen it in other countries where they've been able to do that, and it does make a difference. It means people get more involved, and come earlier as well. It's good.
See, if you're a sensible Hearts fan, by the way, just to another point, if you're a sensible Hearts fan, this whole Rangers branding in the Hearts dressing room, you're pretty much scoring yourself and going, get on with it. It's
Yeah.
a Rangers badge in the Hearts changing room for about 3, 4 hours, and that's it. It'll be removed by 5 o'clock on Sunday night, and half of the world will think they're changing them again. Get on with it.
Yeah, I think it's a strange one. I mean, obviously, I don't know the full story about it. I don't know if the club's, I've seen Hart's statement. I've seen kind of Rangers' side of it. All I would say is I think Rangers did it last year, and nobody really piped up
Exactly.
saying anything about it. So obviously, Hearts weren't happy about it. I'm sure Rangers will take that on board. But like you say, I think it's a bit of a silly thing for them to cling on to be honest, especially when there's when they did it last year.
I mean, Hampden for men and women's semi-finals. There's plenty of these branding boards and whatever have you.
Yeah.
And I've seen like Celtic men's games, for example. Brendan Rodgers has things that obviously there's every Celtic player that they'll be a bit about. Let's say Carl McGregor, meticulous hard worker, or something along those
Yeah.
lines.
Yeah, so I think you see there's other, in other situations, at other events, other cup finals or maybe top matches, we've seen it happen. And I think it just put a bit of a dampener on what was such a positive advert for women's football that they felt the need to put out a huge statement of it, and instead of just saying, look, we're unhappy about it, let's have a conversation and make sure that it doesn't happen again, if that's what it is. But I just thought it was a bit silly, to be honest.
Now, this whole conversation is totally out with the governing body's control, but when you look at it from a fan perspective, you don't want Scottish football or Scottish women's football for that precise matter to be tarnished with a brush that is like, right, we need to be focused on these things on social media, these things and statements. And ultimately, we should be focused on one thing, two things, pardon me, which is our events being family friendly, but secondly, the product on the park,
Yeah, no,
sorry.
absolutely, and I think that for the most part that's what we saw. And I think we talked about the Hearts logo gate. But I think I saw Rangers yesterday had to put a statement out about we won't accept misogynistic or homophobic language as well. And it's just like again, it just puts a dampener on what was such a positive family friendly event that certain individuals that are a minority of people who probably weren't even at the match felt the need to put things like that out on social media, or maybe like you say, they should be able just to concentrate on, growing the mat, growing the game, and like you say, people, whatever's happening on the park.
I mean, I was out for a beer on Sunday night, and by the time you had your beer and checked social media and seen these comments, you were looking at people and going, ah, you were not in the game. I can tell you that 110%.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's one of the most things that frustrates me is that people have these views, they have these preconceived ideas about women's football, and they feel the need to hide behind the screen. And I think that's the wider issue about social media. We see it all the time that they would never ever say, and I always say this to people, they would never ever say it to a player's face. They would never ever say it. But they're fine hiding behind a keyboard on social media, putting it up there. And like you say, they probably weren't even you weren't even at the match. They've probably just seen something on social media, a 2 second clip or maybe, and felt the need to comment.
I can see why Partick is going from step to step on the blank. You just see on the touchline how enthusiastic he is. Enthusiastic in many ways, I may add. There was a few times he was on more professional about a few things, but no, he's enthusiastic about the team. He's enthusiastic about his club, which is emphasised in the fact he plays for the men's team, of course. He's just a really good guy to have around the dressing room for that Partick team.
Yeah, I think it's great that Brian Graham is playing such a role in the women's team, and he is, like you say, he's so passionate about him. I think I said to you a couple of weeks ago that in the wider kind of conversation about women's football, I'm trying to see how politicians can kind of work with footballers and coaches to try and progress stuff. And I had a conversation with Brian, and the enthusiasm he has about identifying the issues that are holding, especially some of his players back. And try to address those challenges, but also for the young girls and boys coming up and trying to make sure that they've got an opportunity to play football. He's so passionate about the sport, whether it's men's or women's, and he's a huge asset for the women's game in Scotland. And I think we should listen to him a bit more. I think it was at the event I kind of host in the City Chambers. Kelly Clark was talking about Ian Wright and how much we need like a Scottish Ian Wright to kind of make that case for the women's game and be such a strong advocate for it. And I think Brian Graham's absolutely one of them. I think he's doing all that stuff to try and get the fans of the men's team involved in the women's game as well. But he's great. He is. He's great.
Let's end in that event, actually, Eva. How was it at the City Chambers recently?
Yeah, no, it was an amazing event, and we had a great turnout. We had representatives from each of the four SWPL clubs in Glasgow. We had a really honest conversation. A lot of the players were, able to have that, talk about their own journey, but also their kind of hopes for the future. So it was a really, really positive event. We also had Fiona McIntyre from the SWPL, who was, a lot of the questions were aimed at Fiona, and she did really well at asking them and answering them, sorry, and giving information about the work that she's doing behind the scenes, which is huge. And I'm really excited for the future of the league. But no, it sets us a good grounding for working with fans, politicians, supporters, people involved at every level of women's football and football to work together to try and progress it. So no, it was a huge, huge, huge success, and I'm really happy how it turned out.
Okay, thank you very much, Eva. Right, we've got a big list to end things off here. We are joined by Sam North, Brian Graham, Carla Henderson, Rio Hardy, Mia McCauley, and Joe Potter. That's six names to round you off. So thank you very much to Eva for coming on. I hope you enjoy the rest of the interviews.
Cheers.
Here this afternoon, we're here with Sam North. He's covering the Rangers v Partick Thistle Women's Cup final. Sam, looking forward to the game today.
Really looking forward to it. There's a lot of talking points, isn't there? We've got Rangers who are trying to win this trophy for a second year in a row, and then obviously Thistle in their first ever cup final. So, yeah, amazing day, amazing occasion.
And what have you made about the growth in the women's game in Scotland?
It's brilliant. Obviously, Sky Sports are behind this competition and the Sky Sports Cup, and we had helicopter, I don't know if you quite call it helicopter Sunday, taxi Sunday, let's call it, last season, and the ladies games are now getting shown at played rather at Hampden Park as well. So yeah, the growth's been amazing to see.
I think it's obviously a testament to yourself, Sam, because you cover a whole range of levels, whether it's male or female.
No, I love it. Yeah, it's always great to be involved, and look, we're here at Tynecastle today for a cup final. I don't care who's playing, what they look like or where they come from, it's just great to be involved, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's good weather for today as well.
I know, surprise, isn't it? We'll take it. A nice sunny day here in Edinburgh.
What's the weather been like elsewhere?
Not like
Is
this.
Is this the warmest day you've had this year?
Yeah, it's got to be, surely. What a lovely day for it. It's come at the right time, hasn't it, for today? Yeah,
perfect.
Nice one. Cheers, boys. That was nice one. All the best, lads.
I think it's big. It's all about momentum. The first trophy is always difficult. And, we're always there. We're still there to be caught anyway. We're the ones at the forefront of the league, and we're the ones there to be got at, and everybody wants to get us. We expect it. It's how we perform under that and how we take that pressure. And I think that's a big moment today. To retain a trophy is never easy. And I said to the girls, this is your trophy. Make sure you keep your hands on it and retain it, and we go again for the next one.
Is that a bit of weight off your shoulders winning the trophy?
A little bit. It could be. I think because the expectation on us was to win it, it was all onus was on us to turn up and keep that trophy. But as we said, I think the performance there showed some real character and showed some real leadership moments. I think we really managed the game really well in the last part of the game, and these are the things that we're looking towards straight away towards the end of the game. We're already thinking about Hibs next week. So, you know, nothing's easy right now coming towards the end of the season. We know it's going to be very tough, and it's hard to not look forward at times, but, you know, there's one trophy there that we just need to make sure we enjoy today.
How competitive did Partick make it in that first 20-25 minutes especially, because they had a very high press and the girls were struggling at one point?
Yeah, and it's nothing that we didn't expect. I think when you come in and pose yourself as the underdogs, that you've got to normally bring something. I think the emotion of it was always going to be there. I challenged my players to take that. Don't get caught up in the emotion of it. You know, we've felt these moments before, and that was a big thing for me, to use the experience of players out on the pitch that have been in these moments and been in big moments and lifted trophies. They know how that feels. They know a first 20 minutes in a game can be very difficult and it can be nerve-wracking. So I think it was big for us to get through that stage and show our quality in the end and score some, you know, some fabulous goals.
Psychologically, just how important?
It's fine margins in this game of football where we have one cleared off the line at 0-0. We lose a sloppy goal, simple ball over the top. But then Rachel Donaldson shows us a bit of magic and gets us right back in the game. But listen, you're playing against a very good side in Rangers when you switch off at a set play. And Rowe's been one of the standout players in the league this year. She scores a magnificent goal. And then I don't think we deserve to be 3-1 down at half-time. But listen, that's the harsh reality of this level. When you potentially don't clear your lines properly, you get punished. And we change shape at half-time. Tried to go 3-5-2 to put their back three under pressure, because I felt as if we had them scared in the first half. But when they scored the fourth, I didn't want my girls to get embarrassed, if I'm really honest with you. And I said that to the girls in there, so it was my decision to go to a back five and shore it up and just basically see the game out, because I thought we looked a bit leggy at that stage as well. We thought we looked out on our feet, and Rangers, obviously the full-time team, the fitness.
Gave a really good account of ourselves today, and it was a really special day with all of our friends, families, and you saw the crowd that was there as well. So it was a great, you know, great experience, but we're obviously just really, really disappointed with the outcome.
You may not feel like it now, Cara, but do you feel as though this squad will benefit from this experience and exposure to that kind of standard today?
Well, I think it's where we want to be. I think, you know, we've showed over the course of this season that we can be up with the top three. We're more than good to be in the top six, and I think it was a good learning curve. I wish it wasn't this learning curve, if I'm being honest with you, but I think we'll learn from it, and I know this group of girls will come back even better.
But excuse me a minute, it shows you the character of Cara. Cara rolled her ankle Tuesday night, and she was 50-50 today. See, if it wasn't a cup final, she probably wouldn't have played. I think she played with a stookie on her ankle today, to be honest with you, but it shows this type of character she is. She was determined to start the game, and we said, yeah, we'll start, if you last 20 minutes, 20 minutes you get, but she lasted a good 70, and it's credit to herself that she went out there and played today.
Cara, the journey you've been on has been some going as a club. It's important you continue that next season and beyond.
Yeah, of course. We've got a great structure at the club. We've got obviously a great manager, great coaching staff. There's so many people that put so much into the club behind the scenes as well, that I think we're only going one way, and that's up. And today is a tough one to take, but we know that if we're back in this position, you know, we've learned from this, and I'm sure we can push for more.
How special was that, Mia, marking your first ever senior final with a goal so early on?
Oh, it was really special. First year on a professional contract, and I've got my first trophy under my belt. It's quite hard to sum up the emotions that I'm feeling right now, but I thought the girls were excellent today, so I think we thoroughly deserved it.
Is this just lay the foundations now for the business end of the season?
Yeah, well, tonight I think we just focus on our celebrations, and we just focus on Hibs. We never know what's going to happen.
What's the plan tonight?
I don't know, just partying.
Can you explain the emotions when that one hit the back of the net and you get the celebration with all the fans there?
Yeah, it was amazing. I just remember running through, and I knew there was a few girls waiting there for the pass. But I thought, just have a go. You never know when it's hit the back of the net, and it was a surreal feeling.
Making a bit of a habit of scoring goals in your first big games, you're scoring the Old Firm, scoring the finals. How are you managing to cope with the pressure of that situation? And then, just, you know, you say you just took a shot. How do you, as a young player coming to the squad, feel the confidence to just take a shot in the cup final?
Yeah, I just take every game as it comes. You never know what's going to happen in football, so I just take every game as it comes, try my hardest, and if I get a chance to shoot, I'm shooting.
The first half was a real fight, and then obviously you earned the right to play, and as the second half went on, you really took control of it. But the first half in particular, you're having a say in big moments now, Mia. So for somebody so young, and that's meant as a compliment, the sky's the limit. How do you manage to find the space to find the confidence to find the quality in those moments?
I think it's a bit of everything, to be honest. I think the girls really helped me, Joe, like my parents and stuff. As I've said, I just take every game as it comes, try my hardest, and just try to keep my spot in the team.
In that goal, you scored. As you go through again, you had to fight off several tackles, etc., and make sure you got to the first. So you must be very, very, very proud of yourself. But also, that fight is one of the most important parts of your game as well. It's not just all about the quality. You have to earn to get those chances.
Yeah, of course. We knew it was a cup final. They're not going to give anything to us, and we knew that we'd have to work hard and earn it. And I think those moments can be turning points in games. That was the difference going in at 2-1 as opposed to 3-1. So I think it was a good moment to hit the back of the net, really. So I was relieved to see that go in and obviously celebrate with the fans and the girls and everything like that. So, yeah, I was really happy to see that go in, but it was a big moment in the game.
Psychologically, Rio, just how significant is this one? It's the first silverware in offer of the season. How important can this be now, just going in as a springboard to the latter months of the campaign?
It's really important. It gives us confidence going into the business end of the season, like you said before, and we just try to take each game as it comes, as cliche as it is. So we're hoping that will take us confident into next week against Hibs.
Does this feel like a team of champions?
Definitely.
Rio, what's made you settle at the Scottish football so quickly?
Credit to my teammates and the coaching staff and everyone behind that. I think Rangers is a great football club and I'm really happy to be here, and I think you can see that in the way that I'm playing. So,
Rio, you told me last summer that you came here to win trophies. How does that feel to win your first one?
Amazing. I mean, it's been a great day so far, and I'm sure we've got plenty more celebrations to be had tonight, but, you know, after tomorrow, then focus turns to Hibs at the weekend.
Is that the thing? Does it just give you a taste of it and what this season could yield?
Of course it does, and everybody wants to win trophies, and I think that's why I chose Rangers, because I thought this is a great chance to be able to do that, and it's amazing feeling to win one today, so hopefully we go on to win a couple more by the end of the season.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Well done.
How's the ball?